Welcome. My name is Anthony Patch, and this is another edition of Pulse. Today is the 8th of November of 2024, and I'd like to speak today about the big picture relative to the election results here in the United States for president. Donald Trump, once again, is the president-elect. One of the things I'd like to say right up front, you know, in our live streams that we present three times a week, is to give the punchline right up front. And that is to maintain, to encourage all of us to maintain a big picture perspective. In other words, not to be drawn into the narrative, whether it's coming from one direction, one side, so to speak, from another. What I've often said in our recent live streams leading up to the election on November 5th was there's a binary. There's a left-right paradigm, okay? The binary. There's two sides, or there can be more than one or two sides, but there's a conflict or a potential for conflict. In other words, no two people can always agree on every subject, on everything, but nonetheless, here in the United States, and it's true in other countries, we find ourselves in a binary society. I think it's reflective of technology and binary zero and one programming of computers. But at the same time, there's a sociological and a psychological tendency for division. So in this division, there are always narratives from one side to the other. In opposition, seldom in cooperation or collaboration. And thus, it's imperative for all of us who strive to be independent thinkers, to be critical thinkers, to maintain that ability to pull back, to observe the goings on, the activities of the day and going forward, and even the activities in the recent past, with a big picture perspective on things, rather than being drawn to one side or to the other, to a particular narrative, to a particular philosophy or slant or propaganda that seeks to influence our ability to think independently and to think critically. I think the critical thinking can be applied in terms of building the bigger perspective objective. In other words, we're applying objectivity. We're looking at things not so much in a cynical fashion, but in a process of critical analysis. Now, I don't mean to get over complex in discussing this, but I think most of you already understand what it is that I'm attempting to present to you, and that is, think for yourself, make up your own mind. And that requires thinking in terms of evidence. And it doesn't even have to be as formal as labeling something as evidence, to simply look at the facts and to determine if the facts are factual to the best of our ability. And there's an awful lot of disinformation that is put out. There's an awful lot of misinformation. There's a lot of information that is purposefully, as I like to say, obfuscating the facts, clouding the evidence, clouding the understanding by design to make it difficult to understand, difficult to grasp really what is the issue, what is the event, what is the direction, what is the perspective, who are the authors. So much of this is reflective in something that I'd like to use as a case in point to apply this idea of critical thinking, critical analysis, evidence-based, you might call it vetting, an often overused term, but vetting the material, the subject, vetting the person, the author. It's just simply thinking for yourself and saying, okay, who is it that's sending me this information? Apply that to who's addressing you right now. It's important that we don't just take something that is put out at face value, As I often say, we need to drill down, we need to define words, we need to look at the words that are used, understanding that in especially the political arena, words that are presented are scripted, carefully selected, carefully placed, carefully emphasized or de-emphasized. Again, oftentimes leading to obfuscation of what the real situation happens to be that someone in politics is choosing to address. It's cutting through the chatter. It's looking at the words, defining the words, because words are important. Words have meaning, words have origin, and by understanding and identifying the origin, we understand the meaning of the words, but also the reason for the employment of certain specific words. Now, again, I'm trying to keep this at a higher level here rather than getting in the weeds, and we do that in the live streams that we do 3 times a week for 2 hours per night. We get into the weeds, we get into the details, we get into the source materials. But here on YouTube and other platforms, I try to keep it as brief and succinct as I can. So our case in point that we're moving to is something that has been trickled out prior to the election during the campaign phase and has not received a great deal of attention, but is slated to receive a great deal more attention by the party that was not successful in electing its candidate. Okay? What I'm referring to is what is known as Project 2025, and this is authored by a conservative political action committee. You could think of them as a think tank as well, and that is the Heritage Foundation. Okay? I'm going to read from CBS News. We always cite our sources when we are reading from someone else's articles or white papers or peer-reviewed scientific articles, papers, and journals. So CBS News, I'll be quoting from. So what is Project 2025? Project 2025 is a proposed presidential transition project that is composed of 4 pillars. A policy guide for the next presidential administration. A LinkedIn-style database of personnel who could serve in the next administration. 3, training for that pool of candidates dubbed the Presidential Administration Academy. And 4, a playbook of actions to be taken within the first 180 days in office. Now, there's quite a bit in this article, CBS News. I'll give you the title of the article if you'd like to look it up for yourself. This is dated November 7th of 2024. 2 authors, Melissa Quinn and Jacob Rosen. The title is, What is Project 2025? What to know about the conservative blueprint for a second Trump administration? Now, you can appreciate from what direction CBS News is presenting this information, okay? I won't get into that, but you can appreciate it. I'm simply going to pull out some of the facts as they're presenting it and also statements coming from the Trump campaign, now moving forward with President-elect, the future administration of Donald Trump, okay? So let's go forward to this. And again, as I often do when I'm citing sources, we just pull excerpts. We don't read the whole document. We take out the highlights or the salient points, okay? Project 2025 was spearheaded by the Heritage Foundation, but includes an advisory board consisting of more than 100 conservative groups. Okay. Now, I want to get to what Donald Trump and his campaign representatives had to say right up front, say about this Project 2025. It's a transition plan for the new administration, that the incoming administration. The Heritage Foundation also created a mandate for leadership in 2015 ahead of Trump's first term. Okay, so that's a little backdrop. In July 2020, the Heritage Foundation gave its updated version of the book to the then White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows. Now, I'm getting to the comments coming from the Trump campaign and also the soon-to-be new administration. Let me scan down here to this so that we're presenting a neutral series of excerpts here rather than the slant that comes from CBS News. And I'm not being pro or con, I'm just acknowledging there is a slant or a perspective to this article. They're going through a lot of the things that are in the plan, different sections. But what I'd like to offer to you is what Trump and his advisors have to say about the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, a transition plan. Again, understanding that Heritage, as a foundation, as a think tank, as a political action committee, they are conservative, certainly, but they do not speak for the Trump campaign. They're not authorized to do that. I'll go ahead and read from the article. In a post to his social media platform on July 5th, Trump wrote, quote, "I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who is behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them." Close quote. Trump's pushback to the initiative came after Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts said in a podcast interview that the nation is, quote, "in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be," end quote. Again, that's from Heritage. The former president continued to disavow the initiative in social media posts, insisting that he knows nothing about Project 2025, and he repeated that message in his debate against Vice President Kamala Harris on September 10th. Again, quoting the president, "I have nothing to do," or I should say president-elect, "I have nothing to do with Project 2025," he said. "I haven't read it, I don't want to read it purposefully, and I'm not going to read it," end quote. In response to let me go on here. While the former president said he doesn't know who is in charge of the initiative, the project's outgoing director, Danz, and associate director, Creighton, were high-ranking officials in his administration. I'm just pointing that out. Let's quote from campaign manager Wiles, and from La Civita said in a November statement, okay, they're speaking for the Trump campaign, said in a November statement that 2024 policy announcements will be made by Trump or his campaign team. Quote, "Any personnel lists, policy agendas, or government plans published anywhere are merely suggestions," they said, end quote. While the efforts by outside organizations are, quote, "appreciated," Wiles and La Civita said, quote, "none of these groups or individuals speak for President Trump or his campaign." In response to Trump's post in July, Project 2025 reiterated that it was separate from the Trump campaign. All right, so that's enough of that. The reason that I bring it up again is it's important to understand the source of information, who's producing the information, and what their agenda, what their slant, what their purpose, what their goal in mind happens to be. I've often said in many of the live streams that many of us, myself included, especially in the generation of television, predated by radio even, but television and mass media and mass news of and information that is put out, mainstream news and alternative news and social media now, we tend to be passive receivers of information. And I think this begins in our education system, where we have a teacher, an instructor, a professor, a subject matter expert who's presenting information to us, and we sitting in a classroom or at a conference in the audience, we're receiving information. We're not engaged with that speaker. We're typically not having conversation, and certainly, in most cases, not having debate on points back and forth. And therefore, we end up receiving information. And what I suggest is that it's incumbent upon us, not in an adversarial fashion, not in that frame of mind, but in the frame of mind of, I need to think for myself. I need to consider what is being presented to me in my own terms, from my own perspective, from my own background, my own culture, what my parents have taught me, what I have learned from my peers, etc., etc. We are individuals. We are sovereign individuals. This is reflected in the Bill of Rights here in the United States. And therefore, this is a message of encouragement. When we hear about Project 2025, the so-called transition plan, going forward, understand that, at least in my expectation, most of the presentation, the slant in the presentation concerning Project 2025 will be to the negative, will be to the propaganda flavor of a presentation, such that we, rather than being a passive receiver and simply just listening to what somebody is saying negatively regarding the plan, and again, I'm not defending the plan. I've read the plan in its entirety. In fact, about 4 months ago, I presented it privately in our private live stream. My point here is that I'm not here to defend Project 2025, but it serves as an example of something that can be manipulated to a particular slant, political slant, to defame, to cause dissent, at worst, to cause conflict. And this is not exclusive to Project 2025. There are many things in my expectation of the coming days in the transition phase to the inauguration in January and then the actual transition, that in the ensuing days, there will be propaganda put out. And again, I'm not taking sides. I'm trying to lessen the sense of the binary, the us versus them, and encourage collaboration. Independent thinking, critical thinking, and a big picture perspective fosters collaboration. It fosters the sharing of differing viewpoints and opinions and different goals and different methodologies in achieving those goals. So collaboration is something that I've always advocated in addition to critical thinking and independent thinking. So anticipating the negative slant on Project 2025, anticipating that it, along with many other types of subjects, will be expanded upon, will be inflammatory, will be used to try to continue to separate the binary in the United States of the population. And the caution that I offer, without fear-mongering or pushing to sensationalism, but is to understand that propaganda, most times, in a country that is already divided and is furthering its division, Propaganda is used to incite emotions, either positive or negative, but in the most common application of propaganda, it is to incite the negative. It is to incite emotions that then trigger individuals into taking actions that ordinarily they would not participate in. It is important for us to maintain the big picture perspective so we are not emotionally drawn into a propaganda campaign. Now, this could be applied towards the president-elect. It can be applied to the outgoing president and his administration, and to the former candidate, to the vice president. So this keeps us out of the fray. This keeps us safe. It keeps our family safe, keeps our neighbors and neighborhood and community safe from what could potentially become an emotional, inflammatory way of behaving that is the result of passively receiving information without taking it in and considering it independently and critically. And that's what I'm encouraging here today. Now, by way of an open plug, it's an invitation for you to join myself and my wife, Kathleen, 3 times a week, Sunday evening, Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where on our own private live stream platform, we are able to delve into subjects by topic and the depth and the detail of individual topics that we are not at liberty to discuss in such a fashion on this platform. We gladly abide by community standards on YouTube. Not a problem, don't have an issue. It's their platform. And this is why I present in a secular fashion, in a within the guidelines fashion, these topics to you. In our own private live stream platform, not only can I delve more deeply into the secular topics, but also from our Christian perspective, the biblical perspective on the events of today, the past, and the future, the near future. If that's something of interest to you to hear the biblical perspective, as well as the deeper dives into not only politics, but biology, genetics in particular, quantum mechanics, quantum computing, particle physics, science in general. We speak an awful lot about science from a fact-based, an evidence-based approach, without the hype. We review peer-reviewed scientific papers, patents, scientific journals, news articles in science, but we also apply this methodology outside of science to politics and economics. And recently, we've been covering BRICS. We spent quite a bit of time, and we also publish a monthly magazine, Entangled Magazine, that you are free to subscribe to, happy to have you subscribe to. It's not a free subscription, but we invite you to subscribe to our monthly magazine where we can provide that evidence and we can provide the links to the source material and to our reference materials. We try to stay away from conjecture, and certainly away from fear-mongering. And we provide you, to the best of our ability, the honest evidence so that you can then think independently about what we present to you, think about it critically, vet it for yourself. Look at our reference materials and vet the reference material as well. So it's very much a learning environment as opposed to just social media environment. Okay. Again, if that's of interest to you, please go to anthonypatch.com. Everything is below this video that provides the link to our website and for subscribing to the live streams and subscribing to our magazine. And it provides you access to nearly 900 live streams. Most of them are 2 hours in length, three times a week. And also since June of 2017, the full archives of our magazine, every issue, every edition. So that's just an obvious invitation and plug for what we do here, but it's to let you know that we're not just here on YouTube. We have a very well-supported group of people that have established friendships, both personal and professional friendships, that share information on Band. That's our, call it a chat room, but it really, Band is our social media platform that we utilize during the live streams for people to be able to speak with each other and share information. So we've created a classroom environment, but it's not one of passive reception of information. It's an environment of everyone engaging, everyone participates. It's very collaborative, openly collaborative. Okay? Anyway, thank you for your time. I try to keep these to about 30 minutes. We will endeavor to post these Pulse videos more frequently. I'm striving for at least once a week. So I hope you look forward to those, and I thank you again for your time, your attention, and join us if you like at anthonypatch.com. God bless you all.